We shall continue with our study on the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I guess the basic beliefs must have been taught quite well to all of you. I think most of you have been through some sort of training before, obviously with the exception of one or two here. Okay. All right. Now, so what I have been doing and what I'm going to do is to continue to answer some of the questions raised, right? And hopefully, right, by answering them, you can have a better understanding of the doctrines from the Holy Spirit. Now, I think for the past few days, one of the issues raised is about the indwelling of the Spirit, right? So the question is this, yeah? Now, if a person does not have the Spirit, can the Spirit work with him? I think that's the questions, right? I want you to read a verse in the Bible. We can turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. I think this chapter here talks about the preaching in Samaria, and by the grace of God, yeah, the entire city came to believe. Right? I want you to read verse 7 and verse 8. Right? If you read verse 7 and verse 8. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Now, pay careful attention to verse 8, yeah? And there was great joy in the city. Now, we know that joy is one of the characteristics, yeah? From the Holy Spirit, right? Now, we know that here, this chapter tells us that even before the Spirit was given to them, the entire city was filled with joy. Right? So it is it confirms that, you know, the Spirit can work with a community even when we said the entire community has yet to receive the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, so the fact that unclean spirit were cast out, paralyzed, and lame people were healed, testify to the fact that the Spirit was there. You understand what I'm saying? Obviously, because Philip was a worker who was filled by the Spirit. But my point is here, the entire city was filled with joy even before the people received the Spirit. Okay? So the Spirit here can work with those who have yet to receive the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. Now, I want you to look at the same chapter, yeah, just to clarify one or two other points. We read verse 20. Yeah? Verse 20, chapter 4, chapter 8, not 4. Chapter 8, verse 20. But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God, yeah, could be purchased with money." Now, the gift here refers to what? To God Himself. Yeah? To God Himself. So, when the Spirit came upon a person, it is God Himself who came upon a person. Alright? Now, so when I said I have received the Spirit, it means that God has come upon me. So when I said I have been filled by the Spirit, initially it means that I have what? I have received God in my heart. You understand what I'm saying? So the Spirit must come first. Alright? So I think here it's quite clear, because the gift is God Himself. because even this person here could see that spirit has come upon the people of the city, right? So for me to be filled, I must receive the spirit, right? And for me to have the spirit must first come upon me, right? I think it's very clear in the Bible. That's why sometimes in the scriptures we can see that these descriptions or narrative or phrases can be used interchangeably. So to the apostle, it has not been a problem. You get what I'm saying? Right? That's quite clear. Okay. Now, I gave you an assignment yesterday. I only received, I think, 2 emails. So how many? One from Brian and, okay, and James. The other one is from who? Can't remember. Joe. Okay. And what about the rest? Hey? Oh, what an excuse. Okay. So are you going to email me or? I'm serious or? I'll give you one more. Hotmail, better. Hotmail is for Gmail. It's also for chicken. Gmail is for church matters. Okay, so tonight before the end of my lesson, I'm going to give you another one. Yeah, is okay. Now I want to answer some questions now. Right. We turn to 1 Corinthians, yeah? 1 Corinthians. Which one?
The one who can join, and he said the joy characteristic of the Spirit before, they had this characteristic before receiving the Holy
Spirit. Yes.
So everyone in the world feels joy.
But I think the joy here, all right, as far as the Bible is concerned, joy is an expression of having received salvation, scripturally speaking. Okay. Thank you for reminding me. We can read Colossians. Chapter 1. We can read verse 10 and verse 11. Right? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and in increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering, with joy. Right? Now, so when you read this passage, it's like here it talks about all the quality needed as a Christian, but it's like being what? Encircled. It's called. They are contained within joy. Right? So, with joy. Right? You know when a person has received salvation, if he or she knows salvation very well, even in times of trial and tribulation, you find that he or she can still express this joy. This this, I won't say happiness, but I say it's a kind of emotion which is attached to salvation. It's linked, connected closely. Okay. We turn to 1 Corinthians. Right? Again, just to answer one or two more questions. First Corinthians chapter 3. We read verse 16 and verse 17. Yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, your God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, here, obviously, if you look at it very carefully, it refers to the church as a whole. Yeah? Collectively speaking, we form the church, right? We are the temple of God in a collective sense. But when you read chapter 6, right? I want you to read chapter 6 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We read verse 18, yeah? 18 to 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Right? Now, I think, you know, by reading this passage, may suggest that, you know, it's like, you know, the entire congregation, all the believers, individually speaking, yeah, have received the Spirit. Because here it says it's like the Spirit live in them, right? Now, it seems that way. Okay. Now, first of all, we need to understand. Okay, this warning. Okay, this warning is only given to, put it this way, to a group of people, because not everyone in the church at Corinth, committed adultery, right? Obviously, only a section of the church. Okay, and these people committed adultery. And judging from what Paul says here, it's quite clear, and these people are those who have received the Holy Spirit. So it's like they grieve the Spirit, right? Now, you know, yesterday we talked about those situations in the time of the apostle, and we have seen an example which tell us that, you know, the entire congregation received the Holy Spirit at the same time. Okay? Like the 120, what else? Chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10. Right? So it is not at all surprising, yeah, to note that the entire church at Corinth have received the Holy Spirit. It's not something impossible. Okay, it's likely, very likely. Okay, so that's why Paul rebuked a certain section of the church, of those who have received the Spirit that sin against God. Right? Now, by looking at this passage here, it does not in any way tell us that when a person is baptized, he is filled by the Spirit or he is given the Spirit. You cannot see that kind of teaching from here. Not possible at all. No. Right? Now, if we argue on the fact that because here it says the Spirit is in you, right? And again, it does not mean that the Spirit is in everyone's heart. I give you a very simple example. I want to read the John. You know, I feel that certain confusion has to be cleared. Okay, if you allow this confusion to continue to cloud your mind, then you find that you can never come out from that confusion. That's why it's so crucial for us to understand that the belief of the church, yeah, is of the patterns of the apostle, and that patterns is not given to change, and no one has the right and authority or power to change the word of God. Right, I will tell you a bit more later on. Okay, we read chapter 20 of John. John chapter 20. We read verse 22 and verse 23. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sin of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained." Now, when Jesus was talking about the giving of the Spirit, it's like the Spirit has been given to the listeners, the apostles. Right? But we know very well that at that point in time, none of them had yet to receive the Spirit, because of the fact that Christ has not ascended back to heaven, according to John chapter 7, verse 39, and also John chapter 16, verse 7, right? But in the mind of Christ and in the eyes of God, these people is like having received the Spirit already. They are like having received the Holy Spirit, because whatever Jesus said would come to pass, because Jesus is God Himself, right? So His promise will come to pass, right? So when you look at the promise of God, we should not think too much about the time factor, okay? Because the promise of God cannot be broken and is not restrained by time. It will come to pass. That's the faith that we need to have. That's why even when Paul says, "Your body is the temple, your body is the temple of God, in which the Holy Spirit dwells," meaning that this body here, even though I do not have the Holy Spirit, I know for sure that one day the promise of God will come to pass in me, meaning the Spirit will come and dwell in my heart. Okay, that is the faith that we need to have. Simple as that. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah. We read verse 17. Yeah. 16 and 17 we have read already. Like what I said before, and here it refers to the presence of the Spirit in the community of faith. Right? The Spirit is among us, and we are in the Spirit, in Christ Jesus. Right? So, you know, you know, yesterday we talked about in Christ, and all in the Spirit. Because when you read the Revelation, right, John was in the Spirit. And what else? Thank you. Christ in us. Yeah. They are two separate events, if I can put it this way. Yeah? Even though they are closely connected together.
Right.
Now, you know, we have read 1 John chapter 3 and also 1 John chapter 4, and we know that God abides in us because of the Spirit that He has given to us. Right? Maybe you have forgotten about that verse already. I want to read 1 John. We read verse 24. Chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Yeah, and also chapter 4, verse 13 is the same. Right? Now, so John, Elder John, yeah, uses the word give. Yeah? And this actually coincides with the patterns of the apostolic church, with the early church. Remember, we have gone through all the words concerning the coming of the Spirit, like baptized, you know, fallen, blah, 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 blah. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, today I know that Christ is in me, okay? Because of the Spirit that has been given to me. Right? Today I know that I have been filled by the Spirit because of the Spirit that has been given to me. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So there is a pattern. The pattern is very clear. That's why I think it's so important when we talk about the basic belief, you know, when we're trying to explain the doctrine, the principle that we must bear in mind is we can never explain anything that is outside, put it this way, or exceed the parameter of the scriptures. Okay? We cannot and we must not do that. Alright? If we try to do that, then what happened? We are in danger. We are in danger of losing the truth of God. Right? And if we persist on going down that line, or that road, or whatever, we'll end up knowing nothing eventually. Okay? So, to me, we are talking about the Word of God, the patterns of salvation, and the patterns of the Apostolic Church, concerning the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So we must be very precise. Yeah, we hold on to that pattern. Otherwise, we'll end up knowing nothing. Practically nothing. Okay? Now, just to digress slightly, I want you to read Matthew. Chapter 13, yeah? This one is not very clear. We read Luke chapter 8. Sorry, Gospel of Luke chapter 8. We read verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Okay? Now, we read verse 12, yeah? Those by the wayside are the one who hear, then the devil comes and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, I want to emphasize on the action. It's like you disregard like belittle or despise. You know, the word of God is precious, especially the truth of salvation, which is given solely to the true church. Right? We all know that. This truth is given only to the true church. Yeah? No other church has this truth. The truth that saves. And now for some reasons, okay, we say, oh, this set of belief is not very accurate. Yeah? It's like we toss it aside, amounts to trampling down the word. You know what is the consequence of doing that? The birds of the air, which is Satan, will come to snatch it away. Simple as that. That's why you end up knowing nothing. Very serious. It's not a joke. That's why I said, one can persist on going down a certain way, a road of unbelief or whatever, but the consequence can be very serious. Can be very, very serious. We are here to save others. We want to go to Africa, other part of the world, to tell them the truth, the right way of salvation. Okay? But make sure we hold on to that pattern first. Right? Otherwise, how can we be saved? We cannot even save ourselves. We want to save others. It's not possible. Okay, we turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 13. And verse 14, yeah. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. 14. The good things which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Now the Holy Spirit is in all of us. We must keep this pattern, what? By the power of the Spirit. Okay? To me, you know that according to the gospel, the great tribulation will come, right? Will come. And this is the most dangerous time in our journey of faith. So we should all the more rely on the Spirit, yeah, the Spirit whom God has given to us, to keep the patterns of the sound words. Right? It's very important. Otherwise, if we go to Africa to preach or wherever, we only bring confusion there. We only bring confusion. You know the word of God, yeah? The word of God create what? Order. Create order, creates peace. If you look at God's creation, He used His words to create the universe. And when the universe was formed, you can see the order in the universe. Yeah? That's why the Bible says everything is good, very good. Right? Now, if you realize there's something that we talk about and it brings about confusion, surely that is not from God. Right? That is not from God. Okay. Now, I want to read, we come back to the main topic, Holy Spirit. Now, 2 Corinthians. chapter 6. Yeah? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16, right? This is the third time that the Bible talks about the temple of God. I mean, we are the temple of God. Okay. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, if we look at this from a linguistic point of view, it points to the future. Yeah? Even though this is a citation from the Old Testament scriptures, but we know that after the Spirit has come down, the apostles were given the capacity to explain and to interpret what? The prophecy of the scriptures. But here, Paul chose to just quote the verse. Right? And here it says, I will dwell in them. It's like in the future. Right? So, again, we can say, right? To some, the indwelling of the Spirit is a reality already because the Spirit has come. Whereas for others, in this space and time, is still something yet to come. Right? But it will happen. You understand what I'm saying? It will happen. Now, I always believe in this. You know the, because the Bible is written in such a way that not only the Word of God is preached with clarity, and I also believe that the Bible is designed in such a way that there is a defense mechanism in place. Right? So you can look at the scriptures, read the Bible, as long as I believe in this, as long as your heart is dependent on your heart is pure, is genuine, you will see it. You will definitely see it. And for some reason, if your heart is not pure, right, then what happened? You'll be confused. You'll be confused. That's why sometimes when we go out to preach to people, yeah, you find that some accept and some they don't. It's all down to this, their mind. Up here. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We read verse 3 and verse 4, yeah? But I fear lest someone as the serpent deceive Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may also be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And simplicity basically means what? Purity. This purity in Christ is corrupted. If that happens, then we see nothing. Right? And so, we need to preserve that purity. Basically, in the context of the truth, in terms of the truth, we preserve the pattern by the Spirit that dwells in us. Right? Or with the Spirit that dwells in us. Okay, now, verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you have received a different Spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. But obviously, they were not supposed to put up with it, but for some reason these people were deceived. Okay. Alright. You know, there was one time, yeah? There was one time in one of the churches, I don't want to mention name, which church. So, you know, workers went there, talked to some of the board members. You know, one of them said, it's like they have received a new revelation saying that, you know, for someone to speak in tongues, you know, the tongue must swirl. I don't know how it happened. Like this? Must go like this. I don't know how the person do it. How do you do it? So when a person receives the Spirit, the tongue must be like swirl. But we know that is not in conformity to the scriptures, but very clearly. So it happens, all this confusion keep happening all the time. Okay. So let's talk about the assignment I gave you. So which one is more important? Love is more important or speaking in tongues? Both are important. Okay. Which one is more important? Invalid question. Why is it not valid? Mine is a trick question. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, yes. My questions are always trick questions. How many of you have done it? Raise your hand. How many of you have not done it? Very clever. You don't have to do the trick question. No, I'm joking. Okay. Now look at this. Okay, let's say love is an action, okay, or a way of life, right? Now speaking in tongues. Is the what? Evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, obviously, in the process, you can be edified, yeah? Now, in fact, in the Bible, okay? In fact, in the Bible, we find that they are connected. Right? Now, we don't deny that love is so important. Okay, love is very important, no doubt about it. You know, I think if we are not loving, okay, we do not fulfill the first commandments of loving one another, even our salvation is in jeopardy. Right, can be in danger. Right, that's why love is very important. But when we talk about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is God Himself, yeah, is the source of love. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So every time when we pray, when we submit to the Spirit, or we pray in tongues, we are edified, and at the same time we are like inviting God to come into our hearts, to fill our hearts with love. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So there is a close connection between the two. You know, some people say speaking in tongues is not important because they cannot speak in tongues. Simple as that. Yeah, because they have not received the Holy Spirit. That's why they look for ways and means, yeah, to denounce, yeah, the importance of speaking in tongues. But we know that from the scriptures, that speaking in tongues is the evidence. Today, obviously, when we are given the Spirit, meaning in prayer, if we can speak in tongues, then we must learn to submit to the Spirit. That's the main thing. Okay? When we submit, then we shall be able to exhibit love. Now, think about this. You know, sometimes we only talk about love, right? And let's say without this, speaking in tongues, without prayer or whatever, because we pray in tongues, right? Now, you can see the danger. Sometimes love may not be done in accordance to the truth. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? And that can bring about a lot of confusion and corruption. It basically introduces what? Corruption. Yeah, into our life and into the church. Right? Now, so you find that when you speak in tongues in prayer, the Bible says we actually utter mystery. Right? We begin to understand the Word of God better and better. You get what I'm saying? And in this way, we can actually act out the love of God fully. So for us to love correctly in accordance to the scriptures, we need to know the truth. So love, truth, and speaking in tongues, they are inseparable. They are inseparable. They cannot be separated. Right? Now we can look at a few verses. Romans. Chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We read verse 5 here. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Can you see the word? The word give? Isn't it? Right? And that is the way for us to what? To be filled by the love of God. You understand what I'm saying? And you know the word give you mentioned is what? In Acts of the Apostles, actually is receiving. Am I right? Yeah? Can you see the link now? Right? So essential. So today we must make sure that we have the Holy Spirit. If I have not received the Holy Spirit, then my focus is on praying for the Holy Spirit. Right? Trusting in the promise of the Lord that one day I shall receive the Spirit. Okay? Can you see the connection? So to me, if we can pray in tongues and every time we pray we get edified and we utter mystery, then surely we find that our life is a life of love. Okay? Now again I said, if we refuse to submit to the Spirit, that is another story. Okay? It means that we grieve the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit. Okay. Turn to Colossians. We read chapter 1. Verse 8, yeah? Who also declare to us your love in the Spirit. Now, the idea here is that this love that the members had at the time is from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Right? That's why today we need the Spirit. Meaning we need to receive the Spirit. Okay, now, class. I want to emphasize a bit more, yeah? Right? We read Romans verse, chapter 8. Huh? Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. Now pay special attention to the word intercession. Yeah? And for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered, he is talking about prayer in tongues, not groaning. Right? Now, so far, from 1 Corinthians, we know that speaking in tongues edifies the speaker. when one speaks in tongue in prayer, he utters mystery. And more importantly, according to Romans, the Spirit intercedes for him. Can you see the value of speaking in tongues here? The importance of speaking in tongues? Yeah? Very, very important. As far as spiritual cultivation is concerned. Right? To me, it is of utmost importance. Unless when we pray, we don't pray seriously, you know, we pray, you know, with a wandering mind or whatever, then it's another story altogether. Right? Now, so today, if I'm serious about my spiritual cultivation, when I pray in the Spirit, surely after the prayer, I will change. Okay? And make me better. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? So, when we talk about love and speaking in tongues, they are connected. They're inseparable. Right? Because this evidence is from the Holy Spirit. And this action here is energized, if I can use the word, by the Holy Spirit. Inseparable. Okay? Alright. So far, and oh yeah, almost time. Any questions so far? Yes. Okay. I use a worldly example, okay? Alright. You know, I watch a program. It's about why the church accepted the homosexual. Okay. So there are two groups of people always, they argue with one another. Now, one of the reasons given is, yeah? Okay. One of the reasons given is because they said God is love. God loves everybody, including the homosexual. Is that correct? Not correct?
Are you?
God loves all the sinners in the world, correct?
Oh yeah, you don't know.
Is that correct? Yes! Big yes! Is that not true? Yeah? But the second part they have forgotten. After conversion, what happened? You need to stay away from corruption. Simple as that. They only use the first part. They said, God loved the world, you know, including the homosexual. Yes. But what about life after conversion? Right? This is like, you know what I'm saying? Love without the truth as the foundation. That's the problem. Huh? I don't know what that is. This is my usual style, just to scribble, to wake everyone up. Okay. Happy? Let's say something.